To be talking about food this morning. John chapter 6. And John chapter 6. What a blessing it is and a privilege to see children follow the Lord at a young age. Amen? I was talking to somebody the other day in my office, and this brother's in church, and he said, "I really wish I would have got saved when I was a kid." He said it would have helped me avoid so many problems. And what a blessing it is to have the Holy Spirit inside you as a young age. The Holy Spirit, and it kept me from a lot of sin that my parents couldn't have kept me from. Right? And I had God say, "No." And I said, "Okay," right? And it's definitely, you can't go with your kids everywhere, but God can. In John chapter 6, we're going to read a few verses. Let's skip around in this chapter, not because not all of it's important, but because it's a long chapter. And I know as Americans, our attention span isn't enormous. So verse 1. "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee," which is the Sea of Tiberias, "and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased." So they came after him because they saw that he was powerful in healing these people. And then while they got there, the rest of the part of the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus said, "Where am I going to find bread to feed this multitude?" And he asked them, and he knew what he would do, and he said, "There's not enough bread. 200 pennyworth isn't as sufficient for this many people." And so Jesus took the loaves and blessed them and multiplied them. And they took the fragments that were remained, 12 baskets full. And look at their reaction to Jesus miraculously feeding them. In verse 14, "Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, 'This of a truth... This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world.' When Jesus therefore perceived that they would take him by force and make him a king, he departed again into the mountain himself alone. And when evening was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship, and they went over towards Capernaum." And that's where Jesus goes and walks on water. Verse 22, "The next day the crowd comes and Jesus isn't there. So they took up shipping, and they said, 'Jesus isn't here, so he must be on the other side.' And they took up shipping, and they go to find Jesus in Capernaum on the other side of the lake. And in verse 24, when the people therefore saw that, they came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus." Look at verse 25. "When they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, 'Rabbi, whence camest thou hither?' And Jesus answered them and said, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed.' Then they said unto him, 'What shall we do that we might work the works of God?' Jesus answered and said unto him, 'That you believe on him whom he hath sent.' They said therefore unto him, 'What sign shewest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat.' Then Jesus said unto them, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world.' Then said they unto him, 'Lord, evermore give us this bread.' And Jesus said unto them, 'I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I am come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me. Of all that which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him, this is the will of God, of Him that sent me, so that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. And the Jews murmured at Him, because He said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Verse 47, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Now, look at verse 64. But there are some of you which believe not, for Jesus Himself knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray Him. And He said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. Look at 66. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Then said Jesus unto them, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Brother, can you ask the blessing on the sermon?
Dear Lord, we come unto You in prayer this morning, God. We want to give You thanks, Lord, for the mercy and grace that You've shown us, God, for our salvation, Lord. And we praise You, Lord, for the baptism that happened this morning, God. We pray, Lord, that You can feed us this morning. You can quench our spirits, Lord. We pray that You can give us a listening heart and keep our mind away from all of the problems, Lord, but focus on You this morning. We want to pray, God, that You can bless the preaching, and we pray, Lord, that we can receive the message from Your word this morning with an attentive heart and a mind, Lord. Thank You, God, for everything You've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. In this passage, you can see there's two groups of people following Jesus. One group is large, of over 5,000 people, and they leave Him, and then there's a group that sticks with Him that's small. In this passage, there's two kinds of bread. One is physical bread that you would hold in your hand, a loaf of bread, and the other is spiritual bread. The group that goes away had the physical bread that you would eat, but they never had the spiritual bread, which is Jesus. And what determined which group stayed with Him or which group left was what kind of bread they were eating. You can have both kinds of bread. You can have physical bread and spiritual bread, but one gives comfort to your flesh, and the other gives comfort to your soul. Both kinds of bread give you comfort and security and happiness, but one does it through the flesh and the other does it through the spirit. And during the fast, we were able to see that a little bit, what kind of food ministered to that. But only one kind of bread takes you to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. Only one kind of bread can get there. Not everyone in here has received that kind of bread, Jesus. But everyone in here has received the other kind of bread or food, which is physical food that Jesus gave them on that day. You don't have to follow Him to have physical bread, but you have to go to Him to get the spiritual bread. The Bible says that He causes it to rain on the just and on the unjust. So my question to you this morning as we look at this passage is, what kind of bread are you eating? Have you only had the physical bread, or have you had the spiritual bread, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, too, this morning? And so we're going to examine these two breads this morning, and we're going to examine the two groups and what made them different and what set them apart. So what kind of bread are you eating this morning? And number one, we have physical bread. And we're going to talk about that. Look at verse 26. And this is the group that's eating the physical bread, the first group, the big group that Jesus fed. And they were sitting down and He multiplied the fish and the bread. And they all took it and they were grateful for it and they were thankful for it and they loved it. Okay? But let's look at it. They eat this bread, and then they wake up and Jesus isn't with them anymore. If you wake up and Jesus isn't with you anymore, then you probably are eating the wrong bread, right? And they wake up and Jesus isn't there, and so they say, well, where's Jesus? We're going to go find Him, and that's a good thing. And So they got on ships and they put so much effort into going to find Jesus. They went hiking and they went shipping and they go looking for Jesus and they find him on the other side of the lake. And Jesus said the strangest thing to these people. Verse 26, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." Why were they looking for Jesus? It wasn't for spiritual blessings, but it was for physical blessings. It wasn't for the spiritual comfort, joy, and happiness, but it was for the physical comfort, joy, and happiness. It was Jesus could provide. You know what they were thinking? I'm hungry. And I think across the river, across the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias, over by Capernaum, I think there's a food bank there. And I think if I go there, there's someone at the food bank that will give me food. And I'm going to go over there and I'm going to look for Jesus because he has something that... And Jesus said, look, I know why you're coming. Listen, God knows why you're going to him this morning. God knows why you're here. God knows why you get on your knees and bow before him. He knows what you're looking for. They went to Jesus because they were hungry and following Jesus, they were following him for the wrong reasons. They were following him for food. You know why else they were following him? In verse 2, it said they saw the miracles that he did on those that were diseased. You know what they were thinking? If I can get over there, Jesus, he can heal me. He can... My body is sick. And I want you to think about this. Did Jesus heal a lot of people? Yes. Did he heal everybody in that day? No. Is everybody that he healed and not healed dead? Physically. So if he healed everyone, they would still be dead. So if all Jesus did was come to give sight to the blind and take the leper's leprosy away and make the deaf hear and the lame to walk again, if all that's all Jesus did, then his work would be done. Because all those people, healed and unhealed, their bodies are in a grave somewhere. Can we agree with that? Jesus, one time he healed a leper and he said, listen, I'm going to heal you because you came to me and I can do that and I want you to know the power that I have. But I'm going to heal you. Now don't go tell anybody. Don't tell anyone. I'm not like that. I'm like, here's $5. Now go tell everyone who gave it to you, right? Jesus is not that way. He said, don't tell anyone. Why? And he went and he said, hey, guess what? I was a leper, remember? Yeah. And Jesus healed me. Praise the Lord. Jesus did it. And people started thronging Jesus and he could no more minister openly. But he had to go to the desert because Jesus didn't come just for the medical reason. He didn't come to just heal you. Whether God heals you or not, and if you live and before he comes back, you're still going to go to the grave. And in the light of eternity, a few years is not going to make a bunch of difference. Right? And so they were following him for the physical healing. You know, some of them were following him for entertainment purposes. 5,000 people didn't need to be healed. But you know what happened is people started saying stories. Hey, remember the blind guy Tom? He was at the end of the road. Yeah, and he was begging and he couldn't see. And he was out there with his cup and begging. You remember Tom? Well, this guy named Jesus, he came to town. And when he was there, you know what he did for Tom? He healed him. No way, man. Are you kidding? No, look, he's not there anymore. Look at Tom. He's an artist. He's drawing. He can see. What? Wow. Let's go find Jesus. Let's go see him do something. And this will be great entertainment purpose. You know why some people go to church? They're social Christians. They're there for the entertainment. Now, I met an atheist. And I said, you ever go to church? And he said, yeah, I used to be a... an elder in the Lutheran church. I said, were you an atheist? He said, yeah. I said, let me get this straight. You were an atheist, and you were an elder in a Lutheran church. I said, did you feel like a fraud? He said, no. He said, everyone loved my speeches. They said I was so good at it, and I was wonderful, and I did the liturgy so good, and everyone was so impressed with what I did. I said, yeah, but you were a liar. And he said, no, I was helping them with their faith. Weak people need faith. And I said, why were you there? He said, they had the wonderfulest food, and they had all these activities, and I connected so well with people. There were so many like-minded people there. I said, atheist? He said, yeah. I said, why'd you leave? He said, let me tell you about the Moose Lodge. I hope this morning we're not here for entertainment. That's why they were following Jesus. And you know why? It says they took him and they wanted to make him a king. In verse 15, they said, wow, this guy has done all this. And they took him and they wanted to make him a king. They wanted to put him on the throne. And you know what happened? Why do you want Jesus on the throne? Well, he gives us food. He gives us security. Jesus is not interested in being a king for your benefit. People, you know, here's the tragedy, and this is honestly a big tragedy. People want Jesus because they want to go to heaven when they die, but they don't want to be saved from their sin now. They want to remain in prison. What lunacy is that? I want Jesus because I want to go to heaven when I die. Well, do you want to be delivered from your sin now? No, I love it. I want to stay in prison and I want to stay in bondage. But I want to go to heaven when I die. Well, why do you want Jesus on the throne? You know why I want Jesus on the throne? Because it's good for business. It gives me security. It makes me feel safe. Did Jesus get on the throne? He's not interested in being that kind of a king. So what are some of this physical bread? How do you know you're eating the physical bread? Physical bread, in verse 26, it leaves you wanting more. Right? They ate it, and then they go across the river, and they're eating this physical bread, and they're only satisfied until it get bored or it runs out. And when they found him in verse 25, they say, whence comest thou thither? You got any more bread? We hungry. We're hungry. We want some bread. You know, these boys, they eat a lot of food. We're hungry. And Jesus said, you don't get it. You know what he said in verse 34, 35, and 41? He said, listen, I am the bread. And he says, I'm the true bread. And if you eat this bread, you'll never hunger or you'll never thirst. And they said, evermore give us this bread. And he said, I am the bread. It's like, man, what is he talking about? He's the bread. I'm hungry. I'm the bread. No. Look, you're not what we're looking for. We're looking for something tangible. Something that we can consume. We want something that we can hold on to, something that we can see. We want to follow Jesus so all our problems will go away. We want to put money in the plate so God will put more money in our bank account. If Jesus doesn't satisfy you, you're eating the wrong bread. I'm the bread. What? You're the bread. Jesus, just having Jesus is enough. All you need is Jesus. Well, what is wrong? What did he say? Look, you just did it yesterday. Can you do it again? Didn't we say we're hungry? Why'd you come over here? You know what? If you're eating the wrong bread, you're just not satisfied, you know? You know what you're looking for? Bigger, more, better. If you're eating the wrong bread, it leaves you wanting more. You get a raise and you're looking for the next one. You get a car, and as soon as you buy the car, they come out with the next generation. I just bought this truck. And now they come out with this new body style? Look what it has. The bed opens up and you can store stuff in the side of the bed. I don't have that. Why? I just got it. There's this thing in the news lately. There was this actor. He works for the Empire. And he was dissatisfied with how much he was making. He wasn't getting enough attention. He didn't have a big enough career. And so he paid his drug dealers to set up an attack. And he's like, look, I want you to, here's $100. I want you to go to the store and get some red hats that says MGA on them. And I want you to get a noose and some bleach. And I want you to attack me in front of my camera here. But I want you to let me fight back a little. And don't beat me up too bad. And here's a check for $3,500 with my name on it. And then the police look at the CCTV camera and they're like, oh, it's those two guys. We know them. They're like, did you do that? Hey, we're not going down for him. Here's the check he wrote us. We went to that store over there. No. And he's on an interview. You know, I'll never be the same. And according to the Wall Street Journal, the salary that he was not satisfied with was $100,000 an episode, or $1.8 million a year. And it's enough to buy drugs and set up a fake... I don't have $3,500 to set up a fake attack to increase the church. You know what happened? He's starring on a new movie called The Empire Strikes Back because they fired him. Listen, if you're eating the wrong bread, you're not satisfied, no matter what the Lord gives you. If we're only eating the loaves that can be for us, you know what else it does? It leaves you questioning God when it's gone. So look at verse 14. Doesn't it say there in verse 14 that they said, surely this is the one? This is the prophet that should come. This is the Messiah. Doesn't it say that in verse 14? This is the one. This is the prophet that should come. And if it's the prophet that should come, you know what we should do? Well, we should make him a king. Because that's what the Bible says. He's going to come and he's going to rule from the throne of David, and this is the one. So let's make him a king. Because we know he's the one, because look at all this bread. Look how blessed we are. Look at this. This is great. So let's put him on the throne. And then the bread dries up. And then look over here at verse 32. He says, what must we do to the works of God? And he says, this is the work of God, that you on 27 through 32, that you believe on him that he sent. Right? And you know what they said? Well, what sign are you going to give us? What sign are you going to give us that we might know you're the one that you're going to believe? Wait, didn't you already say that you believed? I mean, am I missing something? Did they already say they believed? Then the bread dried up and he said, look, you got to believe on me. Not the bread, but it's about me. And they said, well, do a sign for us. You know, Moses gave us bread. Do a sign for us. And Moses gave us bread. Do it. Give us? What? That's crazy. You're the one. We're going to put you on the throne. I'm going to leave. I don't want to be these people's king. And go over there. look, why'd you go over here? We want to make you a king. Well, no, you got to believe on me. Well, what can we do to work the works of God? You got to believe on me. That's what the work of God is. My will, listen, if you want to do the work of God, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's what I want you to do. I want you to believe on me. Well, Moses, you know, he gave us bread, and we need a sign. What? Isn't that crazy? Listen, if you're eating the wrong bread, when the bread dries up, you're going to start doubting God when it's gone. Because you're not after the physical, you're not after the spiritual, you're after the physical. Do you question God when it's gone? According to verse 36, Jesus said they never believed in the first place. Do you question God when your health is gone, when your security's gone, when your spouse leaves you, when your job is gone, when your comfort's gone? Do you question God when He no longer entertains you? Do you question God when things are bad? Listen, if you question God when things are bad, you have the wrong God. Because that's when you need Him the most. That's when you need faith and stability and trust the most. When the bread dries up, when the health is gone, that's when you need God. If you can't believe Him in the darkness, then you probably never believed Him in the light. If you don't bless the name of God when He takes away, you probably never blessed Him when He gave. And one thing's for sure, if you do not bless the Lord when He gives, then you will not bless Him when He takes. The wrong bread doesn't endure, it says in verse 27. It doesn't last. They stopped believing when they got hungry. 5,000 people miraculously saw God multiply the bread and fish. And as soon as the hunger pains began and they didn't know what the future held, they went somewhere else. There are plenty of people that come when they're hungry and when they're in jail and when their marriage is in trouble. But when they don't find what they want, they leave looking elsewhere. And we can say in verse 36 with Jesus, well, something was wrong with the first time. If you live long enough, the bread's going to be taken away and it's going to dry up and your health is going to dry up. And if that causes you to stop believing, you're eating the wrong kind of bread. Now we're going to look at the other kind of bread, a spiritual bread. Verses 58, 6 and 58. This is the bread that ministers to the inner man. Okay? Listen, God made man body, soul, and spirit. Okay? Most people in America only know about the body. They look in the mirror and say, I'm getting old. No, you're not. Your body's getting old. And then there's the soul. And then there's the spirit. And we're supposed to live inside out, but most people live outside in. Their flesh controls their soul, which controls their spirit. And your spirit's supposed to control your soul, which is supposed to control your flesh. Right? They're living the wrong way. Okay? This bread that God is talking to about administers to my inner man. Okay? When we were fasting, the outer man was not happy. It didn't get any comfort. It complained. It said, you're killing me. I am literally going to die. I'm even going to start shaking to show you. You know this crazy headache? You have to give me something. You know what you said? God, I want you more. I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. I want to strengthen the inner man. And that doesn't take physical bread. It takes something spiritual. And what is that? It's Jesus. He said, I'm that bread. It's the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. And here is the bread that you eat that feeds a person and gives them happiness and joy and comfort. Did you know that you can read a book called The Martyr's Mirror, Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you can read about Christians that were nailed to a stake, and they built a fire around them, and they said, "You renounce Christ, or we are going to light this fire, and we're going to burn you alive." And that person on that stake would sing the songs of Zion and praise the Lord instead of screaming as the flames engulfed his body. And that's literal, factual, historical accounts. That person was eating something. He was eating spiritual bread, and that bread with Jesus. And as the flames went higher, they were excited that they were going to see Jesus. They were excited that the physical was going away, and they were going to now dwell only in the land of the spiritual. Amen. And they did. They fought a good fight. They finished the course. They are now ready to be offered, and the time of their departure was at hand. And they were not faking it. They were genuinely excited that they were going to leave this earth. Paul said, "I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, I have to remain in the flesh with you guys and eat this steak." Literally. It's better to be with Christ, but I'm going to sit with you here at Red Lobster because you need that. I want to go with Be Christ, but I guess I'll sit at this dumb Brazilian steakhouse with you. That was Paul. And that's where God wants to take us. Here's the parting of the ways. Here's where one group stays. It said, from that time, many of his disciples turned and walked back. They kept giving him hints. Look, Jesus, all we need is some more bread. He's like, look, this is the fifth time. I am the bread. Oh, what is this man going to do? Give us his flesh to eat? What is he talking about? He's the bread. What? He said, not as your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness or dead. It's not a physical eating. The words that I speak unto you, their spirit and their life. I'm not talking about eating my flesh and drinking my blood. It's a spiritual thing. I'm the bread. I'm what you're looking for. I can satisfy your needs and your want and desires. It's all right here with me. Look to me. This is a hard saying. You think Jesus is just enough? Yes! We're out of here. Look, we gave you a chance. Sayonara. Bye-bye. We'll see you later. It's the parting of the ways. When he found they wasn't going to get what he want, they lost interest. Jesus is saying, I'm it. Get out of here. Jesus was not enough for them. Thousands of people left. But the people that were looking for the right bread stayed. It says in that passage, and he looked at them after they left, and he said, hey, will you also go away? We're trying to build something here. We don't want a shaky foundation. They left, and I want to give you guys a chance to leave too. Because I don't want anybody following me that's after the wrong kind of bread. Will you go away? Will you go away? You know what they said? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You have the bread. You're the one. You know what is after you've met with Jesus, physical bread don't do it anymore. After you met with Jesus, you know what Paul said, I am crucified unto the world and the world unto me. People say, why don't you quit? And I say, quit to what? Where would I go? After I've been with Jesus, yoga and sitting cross-legged on a mat and meditating with essential oils, it doesn't appeal to me anymore. I have no interest in lighting candles and smelling weird smells and having rats run across my body. It's not fun. Jesus is where it's at. I don't need to go to a party. I have Jesus. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Do you have the spiritual bread? He said, I got the bread. I don't need bread. One was led by the flesh, the other was being drawn by the Father. Spiritual bread gives life. It gives life. He said, I am the bread of life. You know, for some reason, when Jesus wanted to describe who he was, he used food. Now, I have never been on a Facebook profile or Twitter or Instagram or my space or whatever. I've never been on one and it said about me and it said a vegetable or a fruit. About me, watermelon. I've never read that, ever. Now, I have read, you know, about me. My spirit animal is Eeyore. You know, and I... We deal with a lot of people. I had a person one time that came to church and said, hi, what's your name? And they said, some kind of animal. And I said, I didn't know how to respond because I don't know how to talk to animals. You know? But I have never, ever seen somebody describe themselves as food. How do we understand that? We fasted this week. Last week, and when you do that, you take things for granted like food, strength, clarity of mind, not feeling sick and throwing up, being able to stand up without fainting. You know, when you're hungry, you'll do anything to satisfy that craving. You'll drive 30 minutes across town to get your favorite. You'll go to Seguin to get barbecue, but people won't drive across town for church. When you're hungry, you can't think of anything. Friday's coming, and we're about to eat. And my brother Urijah and I were sitting there and like, well, we have to get a bucket list of restaurants that we're going to go to. And I said, oh, they have this program, SA Live, and it has this guy and it shows him eating at these different restaurants. The best wings in Texas, Frank's Wings, and look at it. And on the camera, he's eating the wings and we're like, Fat Boy Burgers and Fries, look at these burgers. The Burger Lab, and we're looking at all these things, right? And we would look at it, and Big Lou's Pizza, they have a pizza that's 4 foot across. We got to go. Why haven't we been going to these places? And we're thinking about all this stuff, and it didn't matter how many videos we watched. We were still weak, and we could barely watch, and my filter was gone, and believe it or not, I know Myra doesn't think this, but I have a filter, and it was gone. But 1 minute after the food hit our mouths here at church, we started feeling better, and the strength came back, and the life-giving nutrients started flowing through our veins, and our eyes brightened. And before you have Christ, listen, you take everything for granted, and you try to get things, and they don't satisfy. And you take everything for granted, and you're looking for all these things to satisfy. But the moment you take Christ in your life, the second you take Christ into your life, things start to get better. You start to be satisfied. And you start to gain strength. And where you never had strength before over sin or over these other things or over these attitudes or spirits or the way people talk to you, all of a sudden you start getting strength and vigor and happiness and comfort where there was no comfort. Listen, if you have Christ in your life, He makes you happy. He gives you life. He comforts you when you're down. Without food, nothing can be okay. And without Christ, nothing can be okay. The longer you go without food, the worse you get. The longer you go without Christ, the worse you get. You cannot live without food, and without Jesus Christ, you're going to bust hell wide open. You know what else about the spiritual bread? It's by faith. What sign shewest thou that we may believe? And then verse 66, he said, will you go away? And they said, who are we going to go to? We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know what it is? The work of God is to believe on Him. In verse 47, you have to receive Him. And if you're ever going to get this food, you can't work for it. You can't hike to the top of a hill for it. You can't row across the river for it. The only way that you can ever acquire this spiritual bread is by faith. You know, the one group was there before the bread came down. And they were there when the bread dried up. Because they were there by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how I got this spiritual bread? Somebody said to me, you're going to hell. And I said, no, I'm not. I am a good person. Good people don't go to hell. And the preacher said, you're not good. Prove it. You can't go a week without sinning. I said, yes, I can. And he said, even if you did, that doesn't pay for all the sin that you've done in the back. I said, I am a good person and I will go a week without sinning and I will prove you wrong. And I'll get to heaven and God will say, good job, you went a week without sinning. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And I'm just going to forget about everything else because you did good for 24 hours. And you know what I found out as a 9-year-old boy? That even at 9 years old, raised in a home without a television, in the middle of the woods in Tennessee, and no friends around me. I mean, I had all the odds stacked in my favor, and I still could not go a day without sinning. And the Holy Spirit of God said to me, you are a sinner, and you're going to bust hell wide open, and you deserve to go there. But I died for you. And I said, Lord, you are right. I deserve hell, but I know you died for me. And I said, Lord, the best way I know how, I receive you as my Savior. Would you save me? And you know what? I just felt the burden of sin lift off me. And I just felt it. And Christ paid for my sin. And the Holy Spirit came down. And he gave me that spiritual bread by faith, and there was nothing I could do to work for it. And if you want that spiritual bread, you know how you acquire it? You acquire it by putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the last thing I'll say about this spiritual bread is it completely satisfies. Look at verse 35. Look at verse 35. John 6, 35. I want you to see this. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Never. That's complete satisfaction. Now, I want to ask you this. Are you completely satisfied? Are you completely satisfied? I mean, I know we find things to try to satisfy. It might be drink, it might be possessions, it might be money, it might be lands, it might be houses, it might be relationships, it might be gambling, it might be pornography. I don't know, but people always try to find things to satisfy. Cigarettes and alcohol. You know why they put 20 cigarettes in a pack? Because they don't satisfy. One is not enough. You know why there's 12 beers in a case? Because one's too many and 1,000 is not enough. Jesus, one time, forever, complete satisfaction. Friday night, I wish you could have seen it, we had a bunch of starving people. And we had a table, and on that table we had 8 Domino's pizzas. We had 200 wings from Wingstop. We had fries. We had ketchup and blue cheese and ranch and sparkling water and celery, carrots. There was healthy food there too. And my friend Sam here, he gets a plate, hadn't eaten for 7 days, and he puts 5 things of pizza on it and like 20 wings. And I said, you're not going to be able to eat that. Malachi gets all this food. I'm sitting with Malachi and Sam. I said, you can't eat all that. He said, I haven't eaten. I have 7 days. Of course I can eat all this. What do you mean? I'm going to be able to eat it. And Malachi said, I'm going to tear this up and I'm going to go back and get more. I'm going to start out small. 5 minutes later, here's Sam. I'm like, Sam, you don't look good. He said, I feel like if I tried to eat another bite, I would throw up. I said, Malachi, and he said this. I said, I have to remember what you said. He said, it's funny how 5 minutes can change everything. Yes. He said, you go from wanting to eat everything on the table to never wanting to eat again. He said, you go from wanting to eat everything and consume everything and going to every restaurant, and 5 minutes later, you never want to eat again. And listen, before I got the Lord Jesus Christ, I wanted everything. I wanted everything. But the moment I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, it completely satisfied me. And nothing ever, for as long as I live, could ever replace that feeling of satisfaction. Amen. Jesus completely satisfies. And I'm not a hellfire and damnation preacher trying to scare you. I do want to do that. But listen, Jesus Christ satisfies. There's songs in our hymnal about it. All my life long I have panted from a draught from some clear spring. Right? Jesus satisfies my longing. And through His blood I now am saved. Let me ask you, Christian, are you seeking the right bread? Are you putting your effort into getting the right bread? Is the bread you're going after satisfying you? Is it filling you up? Or are you going after the wrong bread? And if you're not saved and you've never been born again, you know what the good news is? Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. And take of the water of life freely. Jesus has a table spread. And he calls to the hungry soul, come and dine. Come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table anytime. And I know there's people in here and you've never... You know what I want you to do? This is what the Bible said. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Can you understand a burger? If you can understand a burger, then you can understand a little bit what it means to take Jesus. It's in a spiritual sense, and it's by faith. What kind of bread are you eating? There's 2 kinds of bread. There's physical and spiritual. And I want to say, if you're a Christian, spend your life in pursuit of the right kind of bread. And if you're not saved, come take a bite this morning. Do you have the bread of life? If I can have the piano player come forward, you'll bow your head and close your eyes. And Christians, if God spoke to you, then do business with God. Just be honest with them. Lord, I've been after the wrong kind of bread, but I want to start going after the right kind of bread. And if you're not saved here this morning, and you've never received Christ as your Savior, this is what I want you to do. I want you to say, Lord, what the preacher said is right. I'm on my way to hell. I admit it. I deserve to go, and I'm no good. But I know you're the way, the truth, and the life. And the best way I know how, I want to receive you as my Savior. I want to put all my trust in you, Lord. I put my trust in you. And I know the rags of my self-righteousness and the things that I've done and my religion can't save me. You're the only way. And by faith, the best way I know how, I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for saving me and help me to live for you. And if there's anyone in here, and this is the first time in your life you've admitted to God that you are a sinner on your way to hell, and put your faith in Him as your Savior, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And it says that you're supposed to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. So after the service, I'm going to be back at the back of the church. And I want you to come to me if you have any questions or if you've done that for the first time. Say, I heard what you said. And I want you to know I received Christ as my Savior this morning. Let's pray.